This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive. This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
New York, 99.5 FM. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and you're listening to Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and I'm going to start off the program with our special guest is Reggie Workman, but I have another person, bassist type being, that I'd like to reintroduce people to who may be aware of and introduce to folks who may not be aware of. Mimi Jones. Actually, it's... yeah, Mimi Jones. Some people may know of her as Miriam Sullivan, a.k.a. Mimi Jones. And she has a new release, A New Day. Mimi Jones recently has a steady... as far as I know, it's a steady thing with the Tia Fuller Quartet. I had played her when Kim Thompson, the drummer, was my guest. And, anyway, Mimi Jones has a new release called A New Day, and I'm going to play something from it, and we're going to chat with Mimi for just a moment before we spend time with Reggie Workman. Once again, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned. Well, there we have it. Mimi.
Yes.
There you are.
Here I am.
Okay. Well, that was sweet.
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, Sweet Mary, it's called. It says it's spelled S-U-I-T-E, and it's dedicated to Mary Lou Williams. And you wrote everything on this recording, didn't you?
That's right. That's right.
Well, tell me about it. How long had you been working on it?
Well, that piece, actually, I was commissioned by the Kennedy Center. Every year they have a Women in Jazz Festival in honor of Mary Lou Williams. And so they had asked me about maybe 4 years ago to do like the main stage show. And I decided to dedicate a suite to Mary Lou Williams since she was one of my big inspirations coming up.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you're really serious about your music, you need to know a little something about Mary Lou Williams.
Yeah, she's kind of underrated, too.
Yes.
I mean, she kind of sneaks up on you, you know, just with so many things she's done. I mean, she used to hang out with, like, Duke Ellington, you know. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
She was really before her time.
Yeah, she has some really intense compositions. People, you need to look her up. Mary Lou Williams. Okay, if you're not familiar, become familiar.
Mm.
So, Miss Mimi Jones.
Yes.
I suspect that's what I'll be calling you.
Yes, I'm Mimi today.
Okay. Now, the entire recording, how long had you been working on all these songs?
It took probably, to compose them didn't take that long, but to produce them and lay them down in the studio and have it mixed and mastered, that took about a year, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a long process, just, you know, trying to go back into the studio. We used many different types of the same instruments, like electric guitar and steel string and nylon string, and then with the keys, we used Wurlitzer and Rhodes and
actually,
piano.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You got it.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I did an injustice to your band.
Oh.
I didn't introduce anybody.
Oh.
We were listening on Sweet Mary. We were listening to Ambrose. Now, you got to help me out. Akin, Missouri.
Yes.
Okay. Ambrose Akin, Missouri was on trumpet. Let's see. That was Marcus Gilmore on drums.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Sewell.
Sewell.
I always mess up his name. He's like the best guitarist that anyone can get their hands on.
It's so true. It's even hard for me sometimes.
Yeah. the first time I heard him and saw him was with Cassandra Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He was with her a lot.
And you know, when she calls, what am I going to say? You know, I'm like,
that's
okay.
Right. That's right.
See you later.
And we also heard, and on piano, and this go around, I guess, was Miki
Hayama.
She was with you with Tia Fuller, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
She played in that band for about 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So, and now she went on to do some of her own stuff, and Tia's sister, Shami Royston, is actually playing with Tia now.
It's a bad girl.
Yeah. We're going to play, actually, on a concert this week, a Mimi Jones concert. Yeah, I'll tell you about it.
Okay, tell me about it now.
Oh, okay. So we'll be at the Priory, this great space in Newark, New Jersey, on Friday from 7 to 11.
Okay.
And Shami Royston, the pianist, will be there.
Oh, great.
Performing.
Don't mention any dollar amounts, that's all. That's all I ask.
Okay. And let's see, who else? Sean Harkness will be on guitar, and Chris Edelton will be on drums.
Okay.
And we may have some special guests come through.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds special. Now, do you have the address?
Yes.
Yay.
I have that for you.
Because I don't.
Let's see here.
It's in Newark, people. Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey. Okay, it is 233 West Market Street.
Okay.
Would you like a phone number?
That would be perfect.
Sure, 973-639-7885.
One more time.
973-639-7885.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mimi, how did you wind up playing bass? Yeah, Okay, I'm all over the place. How did you wind up playing bass? Let's start there.
Wow. Well, just in a nutshell, I started on guitar. Oh. I got accepted to music in art high school. They didn't have a guitar teacher, so they switched me to the cello, which I love the cello, but it didn't love me. And I found myself, when I was supposed to be practicing cello, I was fooling around with my friend's bass.
Ah.
And I was spotted by the jazz band director, Justin DeTrocho, and he said, "Oh, you play bass, we need a bass player." I was like, "I don't play bass." He was like, "You do now." And that was it. He changed my schedule, and I've been playing ever since.
Oh, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you are wonderful. I just
enjoy
seeing you every time I pop up somewhere in Brooklyn or somewhere.
Yeah.
And there you are.
It's very random how we bump into
exactly.
Yeah.
We've been bumping into each other even more since Facebook.
Right, that's true, that's true.
So, your relationship with Reggie Workman, tell me about it.
Oh, man, I met Reggie way back when I started, you know, kind of. Mm-hmm. And he was just always there to, like, really encourage me. I don't think I've ever studied with him, but mm-hmm. it was the kind of thing where I would randomly bump into him mm-hmm. right at the right moment. And he'd just be like, "Keep going, sister. You sound great."
Wow.
You know, and
excellent.
I bumped into him once in Japan, and I think
wow.
I went to his show, and you know, it was he's just amazing. You know, he's just one of those cats that, you know, there's so few of them these days. They're going, and you know, it's
but
like,
he's still around and still working,
and still
hard.
Working and sounding great.
Yeah.
Oh. So,
well, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners?
Tomorrow I'll actually be with the Mimi Jones Band at the Whole Foods in in West Orange, New Jersey.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they have something called the Baldwin Jazz Series.
Okay.
So from 6 to 8, I'll be at 235 Prospect Avenue, mm-hmm. West Orange, New Jersey.
Oh.
And that number there is 973-669-3196.
Okay.
From 6 to 8.
Wow, you just go there, people, hang out, listen to the music.
And, get your produce.
Well, you can, you know, we won't talk about Whole Foods, but
all
anyway.
Right. Yeah. I know, that could be trouble.
That's right. Well, Mimi Jones, thank you very much for joining Sugar in My Bowl.
Okay. And you guys can, if you want more information, you can always look me up at www.mimijonesmusic.com.
That's www.mimijones.com. Music.com. That's right. Okay, don't let me mess up things.
No.
All right, my sisterin.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
Please
much.
Give Reggie a big hug for me or shout out.
Yeah, I'll pass on the shout out. And he's such a huggable person.
I know.
All right.
All right, you guys have fun.
All right, have a good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Mimi Jones. Who has a new release, A New Day. It's on, what is this, Hot Tone Music. That's the label. Soon to be in a music purchasing place near you. And I forgot to talk to her about her singing, but she sings on this. But we're going to prepare ourselves to get together with Reggie Workman right now. You have to pick it up. Check it out, A New Day, Mimi Jones. And let's start this off like this.
Thank you.
You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. And let's see, I've got the man of the hour on the air, Reggie Workman.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm all right.
So Woo. Great to spend some time with you, Joyce.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad you were able to spend some time with us. My first question to you, because I had to work this out. It's like, what is my first question? That's usually the challenge for me, the actual first question. It is, why did you switch from piano to bass? Because I understood you played piano at some point.
Oh, when I was young. You know, I'm from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And my parents kind of recognized my desire for music, and they used to send me down to Mabel Fitchett at Gimbel's in downtown Philadelphia. And I used to have to take trolley car downtown and go to Gimbel's on Saturday and take my piano lessons. And listen, I tell you, Joyce, I'm telling you today, I'm sorry I stopped doing it. The streets called and the baseball diamond and everything called while I was supposed to be studying, practicing piano. I'm so sorry that I stopped.
Well, you still play piano to compose, right?
Well, I use it to compose, yeah. But, you know, it's nothing like realizing that you left something that you should have dealt with.
Mm.
And so I switched because my cousin Charlie Biddle, who was rehearsing his band around my house, and I liked what he was doing with the instrument, like the sound of the instrument and everything about it. And so he used to stand me up on a chair and say, it goes like this, boy. And put the bow in my hand and teach me how to pick and show me how it feels to play the bass. And I kind of got into that effort and that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to pursue how to sculpt it.
Mm.
And never looked back.
Now, on that subject of being stood up on a chair and what have you, was there other training in addition to that? Was the training being in working?
Yeah, in working mostly, you know, of course, they didn't have any bases in my school like most of the black communities in southern towns and northern towns, too.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't have the budget for the arts or didn't take it, and so there was no base in school.
Uh-huh.
And I heard you just playing Archie Shepard, and I was remembering some of those things. It was like a time capsule. Archie Shepp was there at that time.
Oh, really?
And Bill Cosby and Herb Adderley and Will Chamberlain and, you know, all those people in the boys' clubs and the life in Philadelphia.
Right.
And then all the musicians you know from Philadelphia were around at that time. I kind of lost my thought thinking taking that trip.
Well, we were talking about training. But before
I went to high school where there was no bass, so
right.
I had to study after coming out of junior high school. I didn't have a bass,
uh-huh.
And they finally got one at my final couple weeks in junior high school.
Huh.
So I joined the All-City Orchestra and I started taking lessons there, started studying there, then finally went on to high school, where, again, they had no instruments, so I had to play the tuba for a while.
Mm.
And then they got a bass, so I was playing bass and tuba. And while Mel was jumping up and down the basketball and bass football, Archie and I were marching in the band. I had the tuba, Archie had the clarinet.
Mm.
And we went through that, and in that school was Mr. Evans, who's still alive today. We talked a few years back.
Oh.
Who taught Kenny Barron as well. And we studied. And most of my training came from sneaking out of the house in the night, going to play sessions and hanging out with Lee Morgan, listening to the records, talking about everybody's character and how they work through music. And at that time, they didn't have programs that dealt with jazz.
Right.
You know, so we did it the best way we could.
Actually, I have this theory that you probably had a better chance in that it was accessible to you. even though you were sneaking out. But it was accessible. It was in your, you know, you didn't have to, it's sort of like a mixed blessing. You can, if you can get the grants and what have you, or if you don't have the money to go to a good college to get training, you had the clubs.
Yeah.
You had places
to
go.
That was very important for us. And, you know, it's funny that you mention it, because I think back over the times when we went through that, we went on the road as a result of that teaching, studying that we had to do in the field. Then most of us went into passing the ball to other musicians who are coming along, and we did it in different institutions and different places that we could put together to make music and teach music. And now we end up on the campus trying to create the same atmosphere that we had then. As I came to new school here with Arnie Lawrence, my job was to try to create that atmosphere which Arnie believed in, as far as the young people who are coming along now learning this music, and try to portray my experience and pass on the idea and the aesthetic of the music and what was happening then in a college setting.
Right.
So things have changed a lot. There have been a lot of, tables to turn in order to make that happen.
Right.
And not lose too much of the feast or the ingredient as you're turning the tables.
Well, I do have to correct myself, because I was so eager to chat with you, I forgot to let the people know what they heard. So right now in the background, as bed music, we have Eric Dolphy. This is a recording, Softly as in a Morning Sunlight. It's actually, that's what we're listening to right now.
Sunrise.
Yeah.
Softly as in the Morning Sunrise. We did that in Europe.
Exactly. In Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best. Did they say it's a remastered recording?
Well,
it's
let
not
me
the
tell you why not it's not the best, because it's a bootleg recording.
And that's how it sounds.
That was done in somebody's loft. And we were just over there. As a matter of fact, that was done during my first gig out of the country, or across the pond, I should say. I did go up to Canada with Freddie Cole when I was younger.
Wow.
But when John came to me and asked me to join his group,
be John Coltrane.
John Coltrane. Mm-hmm. We went to Europe with a tremendous production by Norton Granz, who had John Coltrane and Dizzy Gillespie on the same concert tour.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity to experience that as a young man. Mm. Eric Dolphy was in the band, along with McCoy Tyner and Elvin Jones, the late Elvin Jones, at that time. And then John Burks Gillespie had Leo Parker, that alto player, I forget his name, his last name was Parker, I believe, and Lalo Schifrin.
Oh, wow.
And Mel Lewis and Bob Cunningham.
Well, on this particular recording, it's you on bass, McCoy Tyner on piano, and Mel Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mel was on the tour that time.
Yeah.
We didn't know where Elvin was. Mm. But we were all hanging out, and we ended up at the loft, and somebody, as they often do, had a recording device and, pretending to be listening with a device in their bag. And they swiped that one. We never knew anything. Next thing we know, there's a record on the street.
My goodness. And well, there were many years without it being available on CD, and then it was released in, 2000-something of another odd. But this was originally recorded, bootleg, as you've been sharing, in Munich in 1961. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we heard, now you're going to have to help me, because I know I'm going to mess it up, Sida.
Saida.
Saida.
That was John's oldest daughter's name.
Okay.
Saida, not John, this is Naima's oldest, Naima's child.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Saida's song flute from Archie Shepp's Four for Train.
Yeah.
And we have on this recording Archie Shepp, tenor sax, John Tichau.
Tichau.
Thank you.
He's from Denmark.
Okay. He's on alto sax. Alan Shorter on trumpet.
And that's Wayne Shorter's brother.
Ah, okay. And Roswell Rudd on trombone.
Roswell is still with us. He's okay. Doing things, and he and Archie work together a lot.
Cool.
Matter of fact, as we speak, I'm looking at a picture that we did a tour from on my office wall.
Yes. Yeah, so you're still in the office. And you on bass, Reggie Workman, and Charles Moffat on drums.
How about that? Charles Charnette there.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. What a lineup. And this was on an Impulse label, recorded in New Jersey, they say, August 1964. And, yes?
That was Bob Thiel's production.
Yes,
you know,
it was.
John talked Bob Thiel into recording Archie, because John really liked the way Archie thought and played.
Huh.
And he talked John, Bob Thiel into giving him a recording session. And at that time, we were doing a lot of work down together around the village, Roswell, Cecil Taylor. And, as a matter of fact, that's when 6th Street was the Musician's Row at the Lower East Side, which has become Indian Restaurant Row now.
Oh, okay, 6th Street.
But during that time, a lot of people lived there, like Kenny Barron's older brother, Bill, Cecil Taylor, Archie Shepp, Tootie Heath, Ed Kirsten,
wow.
Spanky DeBress, and Lee Morgan, which was, I lived with them for a while when I first came to New York on 6th Street.
Oh, wow.
And just go all the way down the street, you'll find everybody, Albert Eiler,
Stephanie
really? Logan. Just keep on down the street and you can hear people practicing their music, and the place was alive. And the connoisseurs were just as interested in the music as the musicians themselves. Also.
Well, that was the last place I lived before I left the Lower East Side and moved to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
But and there were only like a handful of people playing instruments, rehearsing.
How about it? But, things change.
Yeah, yeah. And before that, we heard two of your recordings as a leader from Cerebral Caverns, which was released in 1995. We heard What's in Your Hand.
Oh, yeah, that was nice to hear that.
Yeah.
It was nice to hear that. What's in Your Hand with Sam Rivers, Julian Priester, and... you know what else was nice there? Jerry Allen. People haven't really heard Jerry Allen play like that.
Yes.
And she did such a beautiful job.
Yes, she was on that recording.
Mm-hmm. And I had a recent experience with her when we just released a recording for Intact with Jerry Allen.
In Trio 3.
With Trio 3.
Yeah. At this time, which I'll be playing something from later.
Yeah. Yeah, I should say something about that, because we're going to do a performance at the New School.
Excellent.
With Trio 3 in
October.
Oh! On October 8th, it's called Jazz Presents.
Ah.
And Trio 3 is going to come here, and we're going to have an alumnus with us who graduated from the school named Andrew Bemke.
Okay.
He's going to perform here. And along with 303, so I look forward to that. And I look forward to hearing and seeing the students as they see what happens with the music from these minds.
So is Jerry Allen going to be at the New School for that performance?
Oh, no, Jerry Allen is busy with her project.
Yeah.
You know, she's going toward the Mary Lou Williams project.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Miriam Sullivan. You know, this is the first time I heard her name is Mimi Jones.
I know.
I didn't know that.
I know. That was a surprise for me, too, when I first heard it.
I heard her talking about Mary Lou Williams. I said, oh, you hit the Mary Lou, too. That's nice. Mary Lou was very special.
She wrote a song for Mary Lou. It was Sweet Mary on her most recent recording. So,
wonderful.
Yeah. So what time is that New School performance?
Well, that's going to be 8 p.m.
Okay.
On a Thursday, October 8th.
Okay. Now, is that's open to the public?
as it is.
Okay.
But the public has a very small admission fees, and it's free for the students.
Okay. And
but, it's something that's very special because the students see us all the time and are in the classroom with us, but they don't get a chance to see how we think as far as performance is concerned.
Right.
Because when you're in the classroom, you can't just take the instrument from the student and they're paying money to learn it themselves.
So right.
Most of the time, you're trying to get the message across without the instrument in your hand.
Uh-huh.
So that's a special series that's going on here at the school.
Actually,
I'm glad I have a chance to tell the people because this school is right here at 55 West 13th Street, within reach of everybody. I'm going to be on the fifth floor.
Yeah, that's between 5th and 6th, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, close to 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Between 6th and 5th, I always say.
Okay.
Boy, that just lets people know it's 6th Avenue Lions closer.
Okay. By the way, Trio 3, the members of Trio 3 are Reggie Workman on bass, Andrew Sorrell on drums,
mm-hmm.
and Oliver Lake.
Right.
On, what is he doing, tenor and soprano?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Andrew's on the staff here as well.
Is he really?
Has been for quite some time.
Oh, okay. Cool. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, just to let the people know, you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. My name's Joyce Jones, and this is Sugar in My Bowl, S-U-G-A apostrophe, in my bowl. And I'm on the line with the extra great Reggie Workman, bassist extraordinaire, composer extraordinaire, and professor, Mr. Professor extraordinaire. And we're chatting.
You know,
yes, sir?
Let me go with you and thank you for pulling that record you played when you first came on. I think that was from the Summit Conference.
Yes, yes, it was.
CD.
Yes.
And that was a piece that was done from a Sartera's No Exit.
Hmm. Oh, really?
And the reason it was important for me to say that is because when we did that project with my former wife at the Greenwich House, we did that with Michelle Rosewoman playing percussion, to whom people didn't know she was playing percussion.
Ah.
And we had a dance troupe and Oliver and a whole series of things, and that was one of the choreographed pieces there from John Paul Sartera's No Exit.
Oh, okay.
And I wondered if the people could hear the flavor of folks having a dialogue in hell.
Mm. Wow.
And Garcon's talking about the door is open.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I guess a lot of people have had that in school or had that in their studies, and I had to try to put some music to it and make that picture apparent.
So who is Estelle?
Pardon?
Who is Estelle?
Who is what?
Who is Estelle? Because that's what I played, Estelle's theme.
Estelle's theme. I think Estelle was one of the persons in the Sartre's story, No Exit.
I see.
And that was one of the pieces that we did.
Got it.
So Estelle's theme was for that particular part of that experience.
I see.
So many things like that happen over the years when you're trying to put things together.
Actually, I should probably, because I didn't finish... to letting the people know what they heard. I did after I got off the phone with Mimi Jones / Miriam Sullivan, I played Estelle's theme from the Summit Conference, which was released in 1994. There was Reggie Workman on bass, Andrew Hill on piano, Sam Rivers. On this entire recording, he played... he switched up between tenor sax, soprano sax, and flute. Julian Priester.
Yeah, Priester
on trombone.
You may remember him from days with Ken Wheeler. He played with Ken Wheeler. He played with Max Roach.
And
he did a lot of big band stuff around. Now you think he's living in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
And he's bounced back from about with his health, and he's doing fine now. I haven't seen him in a while, but I've heard that he's okay.
Excellent. And the drummer is Firon?
Firon Aklav.
Firon Aklav.
Let me say something about that.
Please.
That the idea of the summit conference was when Postcard Records came to me and said, "What would you like to do?" I said, "I'd like to get some folks together who are responsible for this music being what it is and see what they're doing today. But if we're going to do that, we have to have somebody who's of the generation of the younger people today. So we'll get together and have the conference with some of our contemporaries, but from some young person who has a mind which is also in the futuristic thing. And that, of course, is Jerome. He's special.
Oh, yeah. Special. Yeah, he's great on this recording. I understand that the summit conference and Cerebral Caverns and Altered Spaces. Yes, I have it here. When you had written them, they were to be sort of continuing stories. Are you still in that vein, or you've written a different story?
Well, you know, you live a different story every few minutes.
Right.
So I'm not still in that vein. The story that's happened now, many stories have gone on since then. And right now, I'm in the story of, a few minutes later, what to do today. And part of what's happening today is my effort to bring alive the business, production business that I'm in, about Sculpted Sound.
Ah, yes.
You remember the festival we did at St. Peter's in 2007?
Unfortunately, I didn't catch it, but I saw it online. I was like, when is that going to happen again?
Wow, we really put a nice thing together with that young lady who became my partner in that,
yes.
Named Francina Connors. And I put that concept together and made that festival, and together we contacted enough people to deal that whole project, and got the church, because Francina was involved with the church at the time, so she was able to help us get the church to do it in, and so many people showed out for that. It was really a great situation.
Wonderful.
And a lot of great music, and I shall try to go and recapture some of it any way that I can.
Oh, that'd be great.
So that we can share it.
That'd be wonderful.
People, we want to do it again, but right now it's about having a rendezvous with those dead presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to escape us, especially with today's financial climate.
Yeah.
So that's like a never-ending feat.
I understand you're not only do you teach at the new school, but you also have, you have a pre-kindergarten program?
Yeah, it's a preschool program in Montclair. I was living there for a while.
Okay.
So together, Maya Milanovich and I started something called the Montclair Pre-K, which is where movement and sound meet. We're able to use music and movement to help kids to learn about the classics, sound, life, whatever they need to prepare themselves for entering the primary school.
Oh, wow.
So that's what that program was, or is still about, but right now we're having a funding bout with everyone else.
Okay. Is there some way that people can assist or contact or to find out more information about the school, or what, is it just
those who,
on break?
I'll see if I can remember the number.
Okay.
About the pre-K is 973
509-4500,
if I remember correctly, and the director's name is Eve Robinson.
Oh, okay. Excellent. So that's Eve Robinson, about pre-K, 973-509-4500, and that's in Montclair.
And then the prior to that, it was the we established something called Montclair Academy of Dance, where we're teaching young people the same thing who are not involved with the school. We established a kind of a laboratory of music and teaching dance and et cetera to the young people in the area. And that was Montclair Academy of Dance, which is still in force.
Oh,
we still have that school.
Excellent.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it probably will last as long as we have a breath to keep it going.
Well, I understand it started in your house.
Yeah. Sorry, how'd you find that out? Yeah, it did. As a matter of fact, it started with a dance bar that was put up to teach the youngsters, mainly my daughter, Ayana, how to dance. And the kids began to gravitate to it, and it grew and grew and grew until it outgrew the living room. And we ended up in the basement of a church.
Excellent, excellent.
How did you find out about that beginning point?
All sorts of information can be found. Well, let's see, Mr. Workman. I'd like to stay on here for the rest of the night, but I got some music to play.
Okay, boy.
You know what I want to play?
I'll stand by. What do you have?
You know what I'm actually going to do? You want to stand by? Oh, that's right, because we're supposed to be taking some calls. Let me put on this recording. By your, I guess, your eldest daughter, Nyoka.
Okay.
She has a recording here, Fantasy Band.
Uh-huh.
And let me put this on while I...
That's a busy young lady. I'm always hearing something about her. My friends see her more often than I do.
Oh, sweat.
And we talk a lot, but she's very busy and very prolific. She is doing some really great things.
Yeah, she also has a production company of sorts where she's working with different artists.
Yeah, she calls it Loft Art Production.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Actually, before we go to this recording, tell me about the loft scene.
About the loft scene when?
Apparently there were different periods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me tell me about all the periods that you're aware of. Give us a lesson of the loft scene.
Well, the loft scene, you know, happened in New York when we were all younger and looking for places to stay, and the factories were moving away and moving, outsourcing their business and moving to different places and leaving those large lofts vacant because it became more expensive to heat it and keep it. So they were leaving them vacant, and the musicians naturally needed a place to practice, perform, and play, moved into those spaces, and began to create venue. And that happened during the 60s, 70s.
Oh, okay.
And you probably remember most of the loss that happened in the Muse Art Studio, Sam River, Ribby Studio, Ladies Ford, Jolie Wilson.
Actually, I don't remember. So this is a complete list of
all those things. There were many more lofts,
okay,
too. Environ, Cecil Taylor had a loft. I don't know if you remember what his was called. But many musicians had lofts where we had to create a place to perform because the clubs were non-existing or not hiring.
Right.
So we did it ourselves, as we usually do. And that worked for a while. And some great things came. Rashida, the late Rashida, I hate to say late, so that's the reality today. He had a place called Alley's Alley. He was very fortunate to acquire a building. And on it, Coleman had Artist House. James Blood Omer had a spot. Most of the musicians found a way to make it work.
Wow.
And that was part of the scene. And if you'll notice that with gentrification, a lot of the rents went up. The buildings were gentrified, renovated by people with bigger bucks.
Right.
And the musicians had to find another way, which meant finding a place to stay.
Exactly.
And the law scene kind of went away for a while, so we found other areas to make the music happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's why we all, if those of us who are not on the road or not doing some other kind of job, studio or what have you, are on some campus somewhere.
Right.
Continuing to spread the message, because that's what we're here for. And then it reopened again. You know, the laws began to open. Now you have sculptors and graphic artists,
right,
and
right,
photographers,
exactly,
opening galleries and things like that, where it's a constant way of manipulating the spaces so that they can be of some use.
Okay, well, let's listen to Nioka. I have a fantasy band on in the background, and we'll have people call in 212-209-2900. You can talk to Reggie Workman. Let's enjoy this for a moment. Stay tuned. It's WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Thank you. Okay, everybody. It's 212-209-2900. Apparently, folks were just mesmerized by the song.
Yeah, it was interesting. That's the first time I listened to that
one.
And, you know, really good to hear that Neoka is taking some chances.
Oh, yeah. That was really nice. I'm digging that. She sent me a couple of songs, and that was one of them. And that was called Fantasy Band. And that's, who does she have on here? She has, that's Neoka on cello. Neoka Workman on cello. Nick Rolfe, R-O-L-F-E, on piano. Kenny Davis on bass. And Nasheet Waits on drums.
That's a great band.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, nice. Nick studied with us here at the school.
Oh, okay.
As did Neoka.
Excellent.
And Nasheet's very special. Been with us most of his life. And Kenny Davis also very special.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a great band. I like it.
Well, let's see what's happening on the phone. Hopefully, people will be on their best behavior. It's 212-209-2900. And yes, people are starting to call now. Let's see what's happening. Hello, WBAI, you're on the air. Wait, hold on for a second. Hold on. All right, let me get this right here. Yes, WBAI, you're on the air.
Okay, how you doing? Good evening. Mr. Workman, thank you so much for your contributions to music history.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you called.
I remember hearing prior to the Loft Jazz thing, you were, oh my God, it's like unsung hero. I hate using that terminology, but I've been singing your name for a long time. And I guess now, and plus your daughter's in it too?
Yes, indeed.
God, man, you are such a blessed father. Yo.
I'm glad you are still with us. We need you.
Well, somebody's got to understand this stuff, man. I like the roots, and you gave such a history lesson. This should actually, I got a feeling. You can edit my voice. I think this show should definitely be mandatory in all schools to propagate a music program. Hint, Joyce.
Okay. All righty then.
Good night, folks. Love
what is your name?
Yes, what is your name?
William. My name is William Whitmire.
Oh, hi, William.
Hi, sweetheart.
Thanks for calling, William.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Workman. Bye-bye.
Okay, what else we got going on here? Hello, WBAI. You're on the air.
Hey, I want to say hi to Reggie Workman, my brother. I haven't seen him in many years. When I was a young, young brother, I used to go to the Muse.
Wow, who is this?
You don't remember me. I was one of hundreds of young men.
Yeah, but try me.
who used to come up there, man. My name is Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah, and I used to come up there to try to practice alto or tenor.
Wow.
Back in the day. I didn't continue with it, but I was just moved, and I had so much respect for Reggie because, you know, I would go up there, and the place would be filled with brothers trying to get their thing together. And I would try to be practicing, and there would be no room in the Muse, in the practice rooms. And Reggie would make a place for me. He would, like, open up the side of the building that was closed. And he would say, here, work there. He said, you're consistent. I can use that. Because I used to go there almost every day. You know what I mean? And he showed me that where he was coming from, who he was for us, you know? And so, Reggie, I just always remembered that, you know.
Hey, listen, you know, I meet people all over the world who remember the Muse. I was in Austria once, bringing my bass in from a gig, trying to struggle up these little narrow winding stairs to my hotel room. And there's a brother, looked like he was from Haiti, coming down the stairs, and he started yelling at me. I didn't know what was happening. He says, I remember you, Reggie Workman from the Muse. And I was so shocked to hear somebody say that, but it has happened many times since then. Because those folks who were recipients of that program, you know, are all over the place. And that's what I often say about the music. once you start there, you may end up anywhere because it prepares you for so many different things to do.
Let's see who else we have on the line. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, you're not. Let's see. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello, this is Alonzo White.
Hello?
I just calling to say that I haven't heard of Reggie for a long time.
Mm. Why not?
I have no idea, man. I remember an album you did. I think you were the group with Art Farmer. I think Gigi Grice.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how far back I go.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
And
Art
Farmer,
was that the one with Joe Chambers?
Yes.
Yeah, and Tommy Flanagan.
Right.
Wow, those were good days.
I mean, the group, I'm going back to when, I guess, when you could listen to an album and listen to brothers play, or musicians play,
mm-hmm.
and because of their style, their individual styles, you could pick out who was who.
That's right. That is right. I often talk about that. You can hardly do that anymore because
I can't realize
that you have to have your own voice and keep your own character shining through. And said something to earlier to Ms. Jones.
Yes, Joyce is fine.
to Joyce about the fact that we used to go by Lee Morgan's house and sit in his living room. He had walls full of records and talk about and identify who was what and talk about who was doing what with the music.
You mean his place up at Lenox Terrace?
No. Talking about when he was in Philadelphia in Tioga.
Oh, before that.
Yeah, before we left Philadelphia, he was still in Massbaum with Kenny Rogers.
Right. I met him in London playing with the Messengers across from Thelonious Monk.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
When he was married to an Asian lady.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. Sorry.
It's been a pleasure. No, it's been a pleasure, and I really enjoyed the program, and I'm glad you're still with us, Reggie.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do.
Hey, keep on
still, who? What is your name?
Oh, no. He's gone. I'm sorry.
Right.
He said his name was Orlando, actually.
Orlando. Yeah. I didn't get the last name.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember seeing him at the Muse. I almost got him. Maybe the last name would help me.
Well, we've got to go. Now other people are calling. The nerve. I want to get some of this music out here. Guy brought all this music that I want to play. And I know you... apparently, well, I've read that you have feelings about, and I think we've talked about it for a second, sort of like the older recordings. It's historical, but you're doing things, now, which you are, you're doing things presently.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually came across something you had said about the older recordings having... they're being so good, I'm paraphrasing, but they're being so good that they never grow old. So that's why I just can't, ignore them right now.
The more you hear it, the more you can hear what was missing. Because when the planets are in different positions, you're going to hear something different.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to grow that much different when you hear the record tomorrow vis-a-vis what you heard today. And the same thing happens with me.
Right.
Like I listen to myself back on these recordings and say, well, where was I then? Why didn't I do this instead of that? Or I'm glad I did this instead of that. And things change.
Right. And as the musicians change, like currently, you're playing completely different. And, you have a different way. You've perfected what you've... the perfect stuff you were doing before.
Yeah, with we who are creating music,
right.
It's never perfect.
Right.
The more you learn, the more you learn you don't know.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Workman. I'm so glad you had all this time to spend with us.
It's great. Well, I sacrificed going down to the Sweet Rhythms where New School has their regular Monday night student showcase.
Oh.
And Junior Mance is down there this week with some of our folks from the school.
Mm.
But I did hear that James Brown That's James Brown without the cape.
Yes.
Has sold the building, so it's at the end of this month, that place is not going to be here anymore.
Oh, my.
So we're going to have a new venue, hopefully, soon.
Oh, my. Well, I hope it's more accessible than Sweet Rhythms. But
yeah, we hope it will be, too. Well, Alexa Birdsong here at the school is working on trying to find another place.
Okay.
And I hasten to remind you that Rachel Z is going to be with Alexa's program after we finish.
Oh, okay.
She probably will want to come on and talk to you, too.
Okay.
But I know you're checking out.
Yes,
and I'd like to thank everyone for listening and being with us for so many years and so many moments.
Yes, and thank you for still doing the good work you're doing. And
I'm here for.
Yeah, and
likewise for you.
Thank you.
And WBAI.
Thank you very much. And I understood you had a program on WBAI.
Yeah, I was there for about 2.5 years.
Wow. What kind of program was it?
It was Tuesday Night Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Just before the 11 o'clock news.
Oh, boy, just like me.
Yeah, I was on every Tuesday night.
Okay.
And when I had to go on the road, my former wife, Elaine, would take the show, and she had a good show.
Excellent.
For a while. And, you know, things happen.
Right.
Life happens.
Right.
And you live it, and thank you for one more day.
That's true. I shade of that. Well, thank you very much, Reggie Worker.
Thanks for having me on. And, again, I just beg of everybody to come on down and share the evening with us on the 8th of...
Yes.
For Jazz Presents at New School.
Yes, at
8th
October.
Of October.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very
much. Have
a
great night.
Thanks. You do the same. Yes, everybody. That was Reggie Workman. Let's hear a little music, shall we? Thank you.
Thank you.
To bring this down, but we got to get ready to get up out of here. And before we do that, we have some work to do. I need to do a few things. First off, I need to remind you of the performance that Trio 3 will be having at the New School. The New School is at 55 West 13th Street. As Professor Workman says, between 6th and 5th Avenue. It's closer to 6th Avenue. And special guest will be Andrew Bemke, who is a student at the New School. So that's October 8th at 8 p.m., Trio 3. That would be Reggie Workman on bass, Andrew Sorrell on drums, and Oliver Lake on tenor or alto sax, depending on the song. Not to be missed, so be there. And, by the way, that was Alonzo. I think I said Orlando. It was Alonzo White. He said he was the nephew of, Lee Morgan. Yes, if I'm not mistaken. But if Alonzo's still listening, you can call and correct me. 212-209-2900, just for you. Let's see. And there's Mimi Jones. Mimi Jones is at Priory, P-R-I-O-R-Y, in Newark, New Jersey, 233 West Market Street. And that's this Friday. Oh, goodness. What is this Friday? Give me a second. This week is going to be gone so quickly. Well, this Friday. If you can call, let's see, 973-639-7885. She's going to be there Friday. Let's see. Goodness. Actually, let me do this before I keep talking. Okay. Yeah, I just had to hear that. That, yes, Friday is the 25th. And Priory, Mimi Jones will be there this Friday, 7 to 11 at Priory at 233 West Market Street in Newark, New Jersey. That's 973-639-7885. Okay. In the background, we have John Coltrane Quartet. We have it's an impulse production. It's an impulse production when Creed Taylor was there. So there are strings and everything. But the quartet features John Coltrane on tenor sax, of course, McCoy Tyner on piano, Mr. Reggie Workman on bass, and Elvin Jones on drums. And what we're listening to is Africa. Africa. And let's see, when was that released? That was like 1960. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh. I do know this. And I could actually get my fingers on when it was, but I just can't do it now. Oh, I hate when that happens. I usually write it down, but I didn't this time. But let me move on to let you know about the other stuff, because we are lacking in time. Before this, we heard Grant Green, Wagon Wheels from Goin' West, which was released in 1962. And we have on Goin' West, we have Reggie Workman on bass, Billy Higgins on drums, Herbie Hancock on piano, and of course Grant Green on guitar. And let's see, before that we heard Getting Down by Freddie Hubbard, the late Freddie Hubbard. This song was actually written by Freddie Hubbard and on this recording, we have, we have Reggie Workman on bass, but of course, we also have, oh my goodness, I'm like all over the place. Oh yes, we have James Spalding on alto sax. He's on flute on other recordings, but he's on alto sax. James Spalding, I hope to have with me by the end of the year, if I actually connect with him again. By the way, I will not be here next month. There's a strong possibility because there's a fun drive during that time. Don't forget that there's also a fun drive on Thursday and Friday, I think it is. Yes, Thursday and Friday, 24th, 25th, coming up. Next month there will be the fall drive, and I may have to relinquish the third Monday to the drive so they can, you know, for good cause, for WBAI/Pacifica. Oh, to continue, Kenny Barron on piano, Reggie Workman on bass, Louis Hayes on drums, Carlos Pacato Valdez on congas and maracas. And that was from The Black Angel, and it was Getting Down, and that was released in 1970. And let's see, before that we heard Sundown Express, Cedar Walton from Soul Cycle, which was released in 1969. I've got a thing for these 60s, like 70s recordings and things. But Cedar Walton was on piano, James Moody on tenor, sax, Rudy Stevenson on guitar, Reggie Workman on bass, and Albert Tootie Heath on drums. Before that, one of my most favorite Reggie Workman bass lines. And I know I'm going to mess it up, but it's like Psychosomotus. Psychosomotus by Yusef Latif. It was released in 1965. On this recording, we have Yusef Latif on varying things, depending on the recording. Bamboo flute, Chinese wood flute, tenor saxophone, and a tambourine. George of... Oh, this is so small, and I can't... Oh, no, no, wait. We have George Arvanitas. Arvanitas. He was on piano. Reggie Workman on bass, James Black on drums. And, yeah. So, yeah. Just to remind people, Neoka Workman, you look on the web, she will be there. Neoka Workman. Just put her in the search engine. Her name is spelled N-I-O-K-A Workman, just like Reggie Workman. Workman. And let's see, the recording that we played by her was Fantasy Band. And coming up next is the Evening News, a rebroadcast of the Evening News. Thank you, everybody. By the way, this Wednesday at the Brecht Forum, there is going to be, for those who remember earlier this year, I had Farrah Jasmine Griffin and Salim Washington. They wrote a book, Clawing at the Limits of Cool, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and the Greatest Jazz Collaboration Ever. This conversation is going to take place at the Brecht Forum this Wednesday, September 23rd at 7:30. It'll be Salim Washington, Farrah Jasmine Griffin, myself, my co-producer, executive producer, Hank Williams will also be there, and performance by Atiba Kwabena Wilson. Those who may remember, he has co-hosted Perspectives with Luis Reyes Rivera, which comes on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Stay tuned, people, because I got to go for a rebroadcast of this evening's news. And I shall be back as far as I know, we'll be back in November with Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Caramore. That should be fun. Stay tuned, everybody. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. You have been listening to Sugar in My Bowl. You can also hear this lovely broadcast station at www.wbai.org. Hear the stream. Stay tuned. More to come.
Join protests Wednesday when Iranian President Ahmadinejad speaks at the UN. He cracked down on mass protests in June, imprisoning and torturing hundreds. Join Iranians from all over North America in this protest. Converge at 47th Street and 1st Avenue at 10 a.m. Then Wednesday at 7:30, come to Revolution Books Forum entitled Iran, Support the Righteous Rebellion Against the Reactionary Islamic Republic. No U.S. or Israeli Attack on Iran. Speakers include Larry Evers, correspondent for Revolution Newspaper, and an Iranian Iranian revolutionary communist woman who survived the 1988 massacre of political prisoners. That's Wednesday, September 23rd at 7:30 at Revolution Books, 146 West 26th Street. Call 212-691-3345. That's 212-691-3345.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck, your public enemy number one, the rapper without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
You're tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns, and you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM.
And I mean every word of it.
Like many of you, like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country, a media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any